So our next speaker wants to make passwords redundant and will tell us a little bit about FIDO 2. So please welcome Sai with FIDO 2, the superior multi-factor authentication framework.
Did someone boo? Okay. All right. Yeah, I want to talk about FIDO, but I will like use the word WebAuthN or the name WebAuthN probably even more. I will explain why in a second. My name is Christian Orsay. I'm a software developer from Germany. I am a little interested in security and DevOps stuff and automation. I have worked system administration before all that new modern DevOps stuff came up. I do organize a meetup about this stuff also in southern Germany in Karlsruhe. And I am like a little into Miliway's orga. So if I have screamed at you for standing in the way in the kitchen, I'm very sorry. All right. So I have put together a small agenda for today. I will talk about what FIDO 2 or in specific WebAuthN is, like explain how it works and why you want to use it and why you probably should use it over the alternatives, but I'm open for discussion afterwards. How does it work? And then I will talk specifically about passkeys, because this is coming like a new hype, I think, for security. And it might be really cool for a lot of people, but it might be slightly almost cool for some people sitting in here. We'll see how that goes. So what is FIDO? And I think I wrote something next to it, actually. Oh, yeah, I copied the slide. Good job. So there is two parts to FIDO. And the most interesting part is WebAuthN, which is a W3C standard. And then there's the FIDO 2, which is actually a brand. But most people use those names like and swap it out. FIDO 2 is a brand by the FIDO Alliance and a lot of the big internet companies like Amazon, Google, also 1Password, and a lot of security companies are part of that alliance. And they set the standard and work on stuff like WebAuthN. They're also pushing those. Most of those are also the ones pushing for passkeys, which is, yeah, it's okay, I guess. And I think the internet overall is going to profit a lot from this in a from a security perspective. And yeah, I'll go to this a little later. I will show you just for a second how this works, WebAuthN. So I have, when I prepared this, I have found a website. This one is, I think it's from Duo Security, if some of you know this. It's webauthn.io, but there's multiple listed on the FIDO Alliance and the WebAuthN pages. You can Google those. This one here I found very good to get a general understanding how this works, because it just you can just play around with it. Let's say I will register a new account here. And let's say this is called Sai CCC Camp. And then there's a couple of settings you need to hit. I forgot to turn this, no, wrong one. I just forgot to turn this one off for now, but we'll get to it later. So you press register, you can create a passkey, and this is like a spoiler, because passkey is basically a wrapper around WebAuthN. And you can choose like a security key. This device, so this is a MacBook, standard MacBook, nothing fancy. Security key would be like something like a YubiKey. I'm using a Nitro key here. YubiKey is like, I think, the most well-known producer and a big part of the FIDO Alliance also. Probably all of you have seen YubiKeys at work. Nitro key is a company from Germany, which does a lot of open source work. I just want to give them a little shout out. They sponsored a Nitro key for me. But like, it's up to you. It's the same thing. It's a USB key that you can put to your keychain and carry it around next to you, and hopefully not next to your laptop in your bag. All right, let's lose and use a security key. And now I have to touch it. And something went wrong. Oh, that's cute. Whoops. Yeah, probably timeout. So you have a couple of seconds to use the YubiKey or FIDO Nitro key, whatever key. And so now the server has like, I'll explain a little later, but what we have essentially done is we have created a public key or private public key pair, and we have sent the public key of this to the server. And now when I go to webauthn.io, and I will do this in a private tab, just to make sure the sessions don't interfere, it should work out of the box. And we said sci/ccc/comp, and now I can authenticate. Oh, that's good. Oh, one was, why? Yeah, good catch. Thank you. All right, so authenticate. Now, this thing, the site knows that I have set a passkey for this username. So it queries me to use my passkey. So I use the security key. There's multiple additional versions. I touch the key, and now it says I'm logged in. And then it shows the credentials that I have here. There's like, this is just an ID. If you want, you can take note of this, and you cannot hack my WebAuthn.io account later with it. Doesn't matter anyway, because they will delete the account tomorrow. All right, but you get a lot of, like, WebAuthn.io, WebAuthn.guide, I think is the big one from the FIDO Alliance. They have a lot of resources if you want to learn more and in-depth stuff about this. All right. So basically, this was like already an example where you don't use a password. So this is basically, you give them your username, they know who you are, they can map your pub key that you have saved there while registering, and then you can authenticate with it later, multiple times, obviously, every time you want to log in. All right. Yes. Okay. So what is it actually? And this is from the definition of WebAuthn, the WebAuthn framework. It says, this is a better alternative for securing your sensitive information online. And the WebAuthn works for an alternative authentication factor in addition to your password, but it also works without. And it will still be multi-factor authentication if you don't use a password. And I will show you in a second how that works or why this works. So there's a kind of factors that you can use for multi-factor authentication. Some of these might be the alternative to WebAuthn. So this, like on the left side, I put, is on the left, yeah. On the left side, I put a lot of keys. There's multiple brands in addition to YubiKey and Nitro Key. There's also Titan Key. I think Google uses this, or it used to do, and they have some blogs on how to implement this. And I did some screenshots from Chrome, just because it's like the most, I'm no advertising, okay? So you can use a password to log in as a kind of a factor, but this is here. Basically, the two Google Chrome screenshots are doing the same. They use your local device, in this regard, my laptop, to log you in. So you don't necessarily have to have a YubiKey. You can also save the key pair that you're using for logging in with WebAuthn to your device. It might be your cell phone, might be your laptop, and therefore you have you just need any kind of authenticator that is certified, and the keys are one way, and your laptop and your modern day cell phone are the other way. And they use the TPM chip on the cell phone, or like the security chip hardware on the cell phone or your computer to generate the keys. The YubiKey has the hardware on inside built in. You can also use, as a measure of another factor to log in, something like biometrics. I don't know if there is iris scan available for modern day laptops or computers, but I guess we'll go there at some point. You can use Windows Hello and then basically do either password or face or thumb or whatever you have. In the end, it all boils down to everything you use without the YubiKey is the device, and you have to unlock it. So it doesn't matter if you have the password or the biometrics. You know, like you can use Touch ID on your phone, but you can always just not use Touch ID and put in the just a password to unlock it. And once you log in, your device will query you for whatever credential you want to use. And this is already one of the backsides of, or the downsides of using a non-extra security token and just your device, because you might also save your credentials, like your username and password, on the same device that you now are saving or using to authenticate. So if someone knows your device password, they can just, and has your device, obviously. So this is like the two things that you need, and therefore it's multi-factor authentication. You need the device and the password, and then you can like unlock the authentication, no matter if it's password or passkey or WebAuth NS second two password and whatnot. And this is already one of the downsides, because if you lose your phone and you have like saved all your credentials into your phone and use it as a second factor, it's all in the same device. It might not be a problem for people sitting here, but just take a look at your coworkers when they unlock their phones. Like, don't shoulder surf, but just how they do it. A lot of people will use gesture wiping, swiping on their phones, which is very insecure, has been shown to be very insecure. A lot of people will use like PIN codes, like 12345 or up to 6, whatever your enterprise has set, even in the worst case scenario. This is everything you need. Once you have set a passkey or WebAuth and credential on there, someone just needs the phone, and if it's badly secured, you're still screwed. And yes, it's the same when you put the YubiKey next to the laptop or the phone, obviously. Like, at some point, just imagine you are some IT department, most of you are admins, or some of you are admins, you have users, you know every step you do to make them more secure, they will find a way to, you know, fuck you over. All right. Okay, WebAuth N. WebAuth N is a specification that defines an API enabling the creation and use of strong, attested, scope, public key-based credentials of... You don't have to like... I'll get into some single point of this. So this is just from the spec. So basically, there's a strong public key-based credential that you are generating. It has, like, for example, the current YubiKey does... I think it should mean ECDSA and ED25519, stuff like elliptic curves, modern cryptography. If you have an old YubiKey, you should not use it. But then again, if you use it, you're still better off than not using any second factor at all, obviously. The FIDO2 spec has like a minimum security level that you have to use. And you can, if you are administering the server that does the authentication, you can set the min level. So there is kind of a, if your server does not like support EDDSA, or I think it should be ECDSA, I don't know. But like, if you don't support it and the user has no other means, they can just not register a WebAuth N key. The credentials should be attested for. This means in a WebAuth N speech or an W3C speech that the key requires possession of an authenticator. So basically, you need to have a device, which is either a security token or a phone or a modern laptop. And it also verifies it. So basically, one is to register, one is to authenticate. So the server sees you have the pub key, so it assumes you own and have the laptop in hand. It has to be somewhat hardware-based. Then it's scoped, and this is really interesting. A key pair is generated per website. So this means if you log in and create a or register a WebAuth N key set for Google, your laptop will not, or your device will not reuse it for, let's say, Amazon. Okay, this is pretty cool, because while your private key will never leave your device, and this is the 2019 before we were talking passkeys, your private key will never leave the device. You only handing out passkeys. And this is actually cool from a privacy side, but also because when someone finds your passkey in your pub key, sorry, in a leaked server database, they have no idea if you used it to go and reuse it somewhere else, because you can't by the spec. But this also means that as a server administrator, if you are offering WebAuthn or FIDO2 as a server administrator, you just get people's pub keys. So you don't have to care like top secret for them, like you would have to with passwords and hash them, because you need like the plain key, because it's only generated for your device. People can, like, attackers cannot use this pub key to log into anything else if your customers have their pub key stolen from you. All right, installation, we already done, because all modern browsers and systems, it has a footnote, most modern browsers and systems already implemented. The WebAuthn standard is supported by almost every browser that there is. Firefox actually does it, but not to the full FIDO2 extent specification. Okay, there is still some trouble with... I don't use Firefox, so I had a hard time finding combinations that would work and not. I think the problem is that you cannot use... Currently, I think it's... what you cannot use is security tokens with passkeys in combination with Firefox on mobile or something like that. So they are working on it. I think it's somewhere in the next two or three versions, Firefox will also add the full feature set. Mm-hmm. But all the others should do it. It comes with a flavor. Chrome-based browsers just do it. Safari, like WebKit, macOS browsers, or Apple browsers, they have like a... They used in 2019, when WebAuthn was released, people were really happy for Apple because they were one of the first to actually support this. And now, if you want, now they are going full passkey mode. Now you have to enable iCloud password sync if you want to use the WebAuthn feature. There's a hand. Oh, it's the... I'm sorry. Never mind. I should not have reacted to hands and stuff. Mm-hmm. My bad. All right, where was I? Oh yeah, okay. It's supported by most browsers, or people are doing it. For Safari, you need to enable Cloud Sync, and that's for passkeys. But the main one of the main features of WebAuthn was that they advertised it that the credentials never go out of your machine. So now they like completely turned around and said, passkeys, basically, the credentials do move out of your machine. So now you have to think about which one is better, actually. All right. So talking multi-factor authentication, there's a couple of alternatives. Most of you will know the Google Authenticator, all the Microsoft Authenticator things, where you have a time-based code, usually 6 digits long, that you can generate for a website, and it will recycle every, 30 seconds or so. And you have to do the input this after your password. Obviously, if you send a string to a server, someone can intercept it or can like phish you, because in the same way with a password, they just have to like use it quicker than your password. Your password doesn't expire. The TOTP tokens expire after 30 seconds. It's still phishable. What's also a currently being rolled out by most companies is that you have an app on your phone, and when you log in on some device, you get a notification on the app. You have to click, yes, this was me. I just tried to log into google.com or so. So if you get phished, so you go to a fake website, and accidentally, because you think it's the real Google, you enter your credentials there, your username and your password, how does it help that you have a cell phone when they just like proxy it to Google? You just logged in, so obviously you're waiting for a notification to happen on your phone. Obviously, you will click, yes, this was me, even though the actual authentication comes from Google and not from the phishing site. So, yeah, great stuff. Looks like this. I managed to input German screenshots. I'm very sorry. Like, just imagine you are prompted to enter a 6-digit code into a fake website, and the server bot, because it has to be very quickly, just uses it instantly to send it to Google or to Microsoft, but with a time slice of like 30 seconds left, you can actually copy it by hand. So, and you can then, after logging in, even reuse the TOTP code to add a new authenticator. That's not like main of the talk here. We can talk about this later. TOTP is not phishing proof. So how does WebAuthn work communication-wise? Where I'm talking a lot about keys and pub keys and servers and whatnot, but how does it actually work? So FIDO2 combines two frameworks or two protocols, protocol-like things. I don't know the real correct word for this. So WebAuthn is the communication that happens between your browser and the backend server that you're authenticating to. It's also called a relying party. In WebAuthn, and this, as I said, is implemented by most browsers by now. And then you have the CTAP, Client to Authenticator protocol. This is basically how your browser is allowed to talk through your hardware with your security key, or with your operating system that acts as the authenticator. And this is like in modern, all modern systems can do this already. So let's imagine you want to register new keys, and it doesn't matter if it's passwordless or as a second factor after the password. So basically, you as a client with your key authenticator thing, you go to the server and you're like, hey, I want to register a new passkey. My name is Chris. If you have already have a user account, you're already logged in. The server knows this. Server wants a passkey. You generate keys locally. You save the private key locally, obviously, because in private public key you need the private key for signing messages. And you give the pub key to the server, who saves it with your name on it. So next time you tell the server that you are Chris, you can then sign a message that the server sends you when you authenticate, and the server can then verify, because they have your pub key, that you have signed this message with your private key. So this is like PGP basics, right? Or GPG. So I want to talk about a couple of options. So this one, up to now, this is just like the most basic workflow they have. Maybe you have seen this picture around the internet for quite some time. And that's what I was talking about. Somebody, some administrators in the past added token-based authentication or multi-factor authentication to their servers, so their admins would have to use another device to generate a password or a short-term password that they use to log in. And then there's people who just hang this up with camera in front on the internet, so they don't have to be in touch with the device, which is like, it totally defeats the purpose, right? And if you're using security tokens or stuff like the device as an authenticator, there's multiple options that you can set as a relying party or authenticating server to force people or to force your client to use a certain settings. You know, like especially for security keys, you usually have a button or like even a fingerprint reader that is locally saved to the key, or kind of something you have to press, and it's not like connected to your computer. You have to physically press it. So this is like the most basic one. You can set verification to discourage. So it's just, if I want to use the YubiKey to sign in, I must press the button. But as a server administrator, you can also decide that the security token has to be secured with a PIN code that the user has to enter. So it's even more factors, basically. Like, I think the most, like if you play it like all the way around, you can go username, password, you have to have the YubiKey, you have to press it so you're physically there. Then you have a prompt on your computer that prompts you to enter the PIN for the YubiKey. The server doesn't know that. This is a local setting, okay? And if you set this to required, which you shouldn't, in my opinion, there's two possibilities. Either the user can enter the key, and if they can't, like if they don't know it, but also, obviously, if they can't from a technical standpoint, because their system doesn't allow for it, they would just, you can't log in, okay? And then there's something in between is preferred, where you as a user, it should read user, can decide. So when I set up my YubiKey, I can with the managing software from the vendor, I can decide to have a PIN code on my YubiKey or not. Okay, and the server will respect this if it's set to preferred. Okay, then there's a very controversial, and I won't go through all the settings, okay? This is like the second of two configuration items that I find particularly interesting. And this one is rather controversial. There is the option to set a discoverable, that's like the name in the spec, or a non-discoverable credential. And then there's again three ways. Like the server can decide, just don't do it, dear client. And then they can say prefer, then the client can decide. But this is like not something you as a user choose, but this is like the OS setup chooses, and it will use the discoverable one. And I talked about what it is in a second. Or you can require it as a server side type. And the default is preferred right now. I think it's a bad idea. I'll come to it in a second. So discoverable credential means there is actually a fresh key created for this website, as I said before, as was part of the WebAuthn standard. Like this is all the same. It can include a username. So this means I go to Google. They don't support it, but let's just imagine. I go to a server where I want to authenticate. I just like put my YubiKey or my Nitro key or my whatever key in my laptop and press the button, and I've never entered a username. It's basically like, it's okay for certain scenarios. Like imagine somebody, like I work in retail. Let's just say a cashier wants to log into the cash box. It's okay that they just put the YubiKey or the Nitro key or whatever key inside the machine, press the button, and they know this is user 1234, and they have the password. They don't need the password. It's completely cool. And this makes a username-less login possible. It has downsides, because I have, like, I don't know, 5 Google accounts. How would Google know which one I want? You know? But since the username is included in the key, I can just send them I can sign the message. They can just cross-reference it with their pub key setup. And at some point, they will find an account that matches this, that can like verify this signed message. So it must be me. The problem is that you can't decide on a YubiKey or a Nitro key which key to use. Like you can't have, it's impossible to have 3 keys for different Google accounts if you don't add usernames. All right. And the other problem is that security keys especially, which are really cool, and I would really love to use one on everything, they can only hold X keys. Like the top Nitro key currently can save up to 25 discoverable keys. And this is like the preferred setup. I don't know if you have a password manager. My password manager has like over 500 passwords. If I were to do passkeys on all of those and replace all of those, I would need 20 YubiKeys if they all use like discoverable credentials, okay? Even if they don't use username less login, that would cost me like a shitload of money, and my key would not look like this, but more like this, okay? Nitro Key has 50 keys. There's other brands that do more. Your laptop can hold basically an infinite number, okay? So you don't have the problem with laptop then, or phone. And then there's the non-discoverable credential. And in my opinion, if you don't need the username-less login, please use this. So if you're an administrator, set the discoverable credential setting to discouraged. What's going to happen is the security tokens, like the USB keys, but also your TPM chip and stuff, they have a master password or master key. And this is basic public key cryptography. We have a master key. And then you get a seed, like a nonce or a string, from the server when you are creating and registering a key set. And from this master key, you create another key set. Because the cool thing is, like, okay, you can later recreate it. You don't have to save this key set. So basically, this is how it happens. I go to the server. I'm like, hey, I'm Chris. Or I am actually like Chris's operating system. So, and the server is like, okay, cool. Please use this nonce. And I have actually, like, when I was looking over the slides earlier, I'm not sure currently if this is 16 or 64 bits. But yeah, bear with me. It's a string. So then I generate from my master key a new key set. And then I send the pub key of this new key set to the server. And I use the combination of the master key and the nonce for this. and the server will send the pub key, but will also will save it, but will also save the nonce. So when I authenticate, actually, or use it as a second factor, I come back to the server. I must say I am Chris, because the server has no way to decide this otherwise. So the server has to send me my nonce and a message to sign. I forgot this, sorry. And then I can generate the keys from the nonce on the fly while authenticating, and then I can use the regenerated private key to sign the message and send it to the server. And from there on, the server can't really decide if I have saved the pub key before, the private key before, or if I have recreated it. And the server doesn't care, because they say, like, from a server standpoint, if I have the master key and it is branded into the hardware, it doesn't matter if you have created a new key or not. Okay. Yeah, and then the server can verify that it's indeed you. All right. So quick wrap up. Phishing is, to my knowledge, impossible, because your client will save the actual, or will use the actual, like, URL endpoint to create the keys. So if you have a key that you registered with google.com and someone tries to phish you with fake google.com, you won't have a key for fake google.com. Even if they manage to persuade you on a phishing site to create a key for fake google.com, you can never use it to log into actual google.com. There's no way. The only way would be if there's a problem with HTTPS or TLS, because this relies on server certification and stuff, okay? But even if you proxy the traffic, there's no way that you can, you might have, if you proxy the traffic, now that won't work because you have a different address. If you man in the middle the traffic, obviously this doesn't help, because you could still get the authentication or the, what's it called, session token or stuff like that. But for, there's no way that someone that can convince me on a fake site to insert my credentials that they can use, like, the my keys. The convenience is pretty high, I think. Especially if you use, like, only your computer for not so secure accounts. Like, imagine with the alternatives, like, you log in on your desktop, you put in your username, you put in your password, and then you get prompted for a key, you fumble in your bag for your phone, you have to start your authenticator app, you watch through, you scroll through your, I don't know, 200 TOTP token settings to get the key. You have to type it in. Oh shit, the time slice is up, you have to get another one. Yeah, I think it's much easier, especially if you use stuff like Face ID or Touch ID, to just, like, tap the touch scanner once, or if you have Face ID, to just have the camera scan your face once. And this is really bad of me, because it should say the server only knows the public key, right? I'm really, whoops, that would be fun. All right, okay. All right, let's say the server only knows the public key, okay? So there's no way. If they have the public key, they have no way of telling who, if it's you, an attacker that can extract the public key, they can't do a shit with it. No way. Contra, if you use secure tokens, you might have to spend a couple euros on them. So I think the cheapest ones are like 10, 15 euros that fit the standard. If you, like, let's say if you want different devices, like use desktop for logging in and phone for the authentication device, you can use this through scanning QR codes on the phone from your on the desktop from your phone and stuff. You need to, like, let's say you're an enterprise or a small company, you have to give, like, everyone an extra YubiKey or an extra phone so that they can log in on the desktop if you don't want to have it on the same device or so. So there might be extra costs. The key might be saved to the same device as the login, you know. So if someone takes, as I said, takes the phone, you have weak authentication, they have both the login, if you save it to the device, and also the passkey or web authentic key. And yeah, the if you use passkeys, I'll skip that. Your keys will get synced to the cloud. I'll get to this. So now, most big companies are pushing for passkeys. Apple does it, Google does it, I think Amazon does it too, 1Password does it. You should get rid of their ad is like, you should get rid of passwords at all, because it's hard to remember passwords. Use secure, unique password, you'll know it. People could use password managers, but it might be easier to just use like your fingerprint on your phone. And I think it's a totally valid thing for probably 99% of internet users. The other thing that they say is it will work on all devices. And there my doubts start a little, because basically passkeys is just WebAuthn with a little extras, or a multi-device WebAuthn, as I've read somewhere. What is happening actually is if you set a new passkey on your device, it will get synced to the cloud. So let's say I'm using a Mac, I'm using an iPhone. I create a passkey to log into google.com on my Mac Safari. It gets the private keys get synced to Apple Cloud, iCloud, and then synced onto my watch, onto my iPhone. And then I can log in from all these systems. That's pretty cool, because I can now log in from my phone. I don't have to remember the password. Let's say I generate a very good password on my computer, on my desktop. This is really cool. I can copy paste it and then type it on my iPhone for an hour if it's like 30 characters long. So now the key that doesn't even know it needed a pass key is just synced to my iPhone. That's pretty cool. The problem is, in my opinion, that iCloud, if you turn on password sync, one, they know your passwords. So if you're using multi-factor authentication passkey, like password and key as the second one, then now you give them both. It's not worse than before, because before you had multi-factor out, they knew both too, or the both as the one password. But I think, don't get me wrong, this should make life easier, logging in securely easier for a very large proportion of internet users. But there's some, maybe even company policy that will stop you from syncing password stuff, and this includes passkeys into the cloud. Okay, so and now is the problem that you can, if you're a Safari user, I said it before, this kills WebAuthn for Safari, because they force you to put on to enable Cloud Sync, and it WebAuthn worked perfectly on Safari, but now they just killed the feature basically if you don't want to sync. Yeah, so relatively high security level. It's probably stuff like your mother-in-law or whatever should use, instead of typing the same 3-digit or 6-digit password on every shop they use. It prevents phishing. As I said before, it's unphishable. You don't have to remember complex passwords, actually, because the general idea behind passkeys is not as a multi-factor, like second factor next to password, but just to replace password. The downside is, especially smartphones have no good protection, okay? And the problem is, with all the syncing tools, you have no way to choose which passwords to sync. So maybe you are cool with like having your, I don't know, your Tinder password synced to iCloud, but not your bank account password. Right? There's no way to distinguish. Either you sync all or sync none. And there's another one. People have, like server admins or companies have to give you some kind of reset code. Because if you lose the device, or for whatever reason, all your devices that are synced, I mean, yeah, if you have multiple, okay. Yeah, it's really bad. You need some kind of backup password. Now you have backup passwords for every password that you were trying to replace. I don't know if that's like, in my head, this is kind of like going back to the start. It's vendor locked in. You cannot, if you use Chrome Password Manager or 1Password or whatever other password on your one device, you cannot sync it to your other device that uses iCloud or something like that. You have to use all Google account or all Apple account or all 1Password account. I said earlier, there's no selective sync. Password and sync and key, if you have passwords, are synced to the same cloud device. I just forgot one that I got into my head. Oh yeah, there's like a point. They say you don't have to remember any password. But then again, it's all tied to your Apple account, where you need a password, or to your Google account, where you need a password. So at some point, yes, it's easier because you don't have to remember 100 passwords, or your password manager doesn't have to contain 500 passwords, you just need one. And I don't know, like, I've seen people losing their password manager or Google password or so, and then you have, like, backup keys. What do you do with backup keys? Do you print them out and put them in your storage or somewhere? Do you write them down in some file next to, like, post it onto your computer or so? No idea. So I would just want to wrap it up again once more, and then you're free to leave, or ask, or discuss. The WebAuth and secure token is, in my opinion, like YubiKey on your keychain is, in my opinion, the most secure or most possibly achievable secure combination. And then you can, if you want, you can add shit on top. Like from a server admin perspective, yeah, put TOTP on top of it. If you run, like, I don't know, nuclear stuff, I'm not in that business, but like, I would love to see people use a YubiKey because that's something you don't, I don't know. Who of you has lost their keys before? Like physical key. Okay, sorry. Yeah. If you use YubiKeys or Nitro keys or stuff, it's a little piece of hardware. It probably costs them to produce, like, I don't know, €1 or so, probably less. Yeah, buy it in twos would be my recommendation, okay? Or use like an old phone or something like as backup. There's a high convenience level when using biometrics without the security token. You don't have to search for your keys. That might be like downstairs in your house or upstairs in your house when you're working from the back from the cellar. You can drive the decision as a server administrator, like what kind of options you set, obviously. So if it's a bank account, you probably want higher level security than on your Twitter account. It might differ for people, so it depends on your attack or threat scenario. Do I have one more? Oh yeah, that's the last one. Thanks for joining. If you have, thank you.
We will have a Q&A.
Yeah, sure.
If you have questions, please line up at the microphone. Please don't cross the camera in front.
Hey.
Hi. Thanks for the great talk. It's a very cool topic, and I think we will see it a lot in corporate environments.
Yeah, totally.
But let's say we don't want to use these cloud features due to the vendor lock-in. How could we do that? So I'm thinking, like, using the YubiKey has some restrictions with a limited number of slots, for example. So why can't we put the private key in our password managers and have the password manager act as the YubiKey? Like, virtually, you could then back this up through OneDrive or whatever other IT means.
And it's actually, people are working on that. Like, this is one of the big things that 1Password is doing, or that they're advertising for, that you can like store the or use it as a WebAuth authenticator next to your, or like as an alternative to your device. Then again, you have the same problem again. There's one company that has all your stuff, and like stuff like 1Password does. I think they do cloud-based only currently. But yeah, there might be. I'm not aware, but it should be possible, like, to have another open password manager that you care for it yourself. I think Bitwarden is working on it, and this is very likely to be seen in at least companies that people around here work for more than 1Password. Yeah, it should be possible.
So my question is. Quite similar. Does WebAuth then require you to use hardware tokens? Is this part of the standard? Because if it's not, like, there's great open source password managers. If they adapt to the standard, you can do all your great crypto security stuff and have no vendor lock-in and still use WebAuth. And because I think WebAuth is great, I just want to use the tokens.
Yeah. I'm not sure, actually, what the aspired spec is. In the end, I'm very sure that at least most companies that are part of the FIDO Alliance, which is the major driver of this, let's say, would have a hard time of using open source. You know, like, it's not in their interest to do this, but if there's like one password, for example, is part, and they have this exact problem, it might be possible that you would need the hardware security chip on your device to create the keys, and but then save them to your password manager. I don't know why it should not work. But I don't know, actually. Sorry.
Thank you for the talk. To the best of your knowledge, how secure are the YubiKeys themselves? Like several months ago, we had the entire story with Ledger where it was like, oh, we can actually totally export your key material from it.
I think there was in YubiKey 4, up to a certain serial number or certain level version, they had a problem where theoretically people were able to recreate the master key due to some faulty implementation. But I have no idea about crypto at all. You know, like when I was preparing the talk, I learned that you call that string to verify from the server a nonce. So my crypto level is very, very basic. I think generally, I would imagine if a company like Google, which is known to have very little breaches, I think, that I know of, uses security tokens, they will have this thing covered. I'm very sure that they have thoroughly tested all these things. But yeah, it's just, if there's no flaw that people know about, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The question was, because he has no mic, which brand Google uses. A couple years ago, I think it was 2017-ish, Google came out with a set of blog posts that they were using Titan keys, and they have, it's just another brand, the chips come probably out of the same factory in China somewhere, but like they're using Titan keys, I don't know how it is yet or now. And they also had like an advertising thing where they enabled you to buy a set of Titan keys that do Bluetooth and NFC and USB and whatnot. Okay, so, but generally, I don't want to advertise for one brand. I don't know. What I can recommend when looking at keys, like security token keys, think about what kind of adapter you are using most with this key. So if you use, like I have a MacBook Air some kind years old, it has only USB-C ports. My phone has USB-C port only. If I use a USB-A port authenticator, then I can show you it looks like this all the time. So you need an additional adapter all the time. And then I would imagine you run around like with your keychain and the adapter falls off and stuff. So think about it first. They have it in several different specs. You can also use NFC, just hang it to the back of your phone. That's pretty cool. But yeah, in the end, just I can't recommend a brand actually.
Thank you, Sai.
Yeah, if you have...